Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I remember in college one time going to see the Chicago Wolves hockey team play the Milwaukee Admirals when they were in Milwaukee. And of course, I wore my white Chicago Wolves jersey with my maroon and white Wolves hat to the game. And I think I might have been the only person in that 20,000-person arena with any Wolves gear on. And when they scored their first goal of the game, I remember standing up and cheering. It was great. I was excited. And then I sat back down in my seat and then felt something. It was a burger wrapper that got crumpled up and thrown at me. Then I got hit with some hot dog wrappers and part of a beer cup. Safe to say they weren't too pleased that they had scored. And when they scored again, I thought it would be safe and best just to stay sitting down. It was intriguing to see how one event provoked two completely different reactions, one of anger and one of joy. And in our text this morning, we really see the same with the Star of Bethlehem. When that star appears in the sky overhead, it produces two completely different reactions, and really still does so today. So Matthew begins by telling us that after Jesus was born in the days of Herod, wise men from the east came and went to Jerusalem. They went to Herod's palace and asked, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." Hearing these words, Herod's stomach immediately turned inside out and became upset. When he heard this, he was troubled. And all Jerusalem was with him. So what's going on? Why the distress about the star? Interestingly, this is not the only time this region has been troubled by this star. On the Thursday before Christmas, I read an article entitled, "Bethlehem is gearing up for its busiest Christmas in years, but the town is also worried." And as I read the article, I found out why the town was so distressed. It wasn't because of a terror threat. It wasn't because of bad weather, road construction, no room at the inn, or a shortage of merchandise. It was because the town wasn't ready yet for Christmas. The renovations weren't complete on the street, and the church and the nativity wasn't done yet. They were worried because they weren't ready. Is that why Herod, Jerusalem, and all of his region is distressed? Is that why they are troubled? Is it because they aren't prepared for the king of the Jews? Sadly, it's not. And a quick lesson on Herod tells you why. Herod, or Herod the Great, as he's commonly called, was a good ruler, but he had a nasty side to him. He was born into a politically connected family and appointed governor in 47 BC. In the year 40, he received the title of king. And in our text, Herod has been ruling for roughly 40 years. And there's a reason he ruled for so long. He had a clever side to him and was not afraid to get revenge, to be brutal or ruthless. When his father was poisoned by a political opponent, he devised a plan to get back at his killers. And so how did he do that? He innocently invites them over for a dinner party and then has them promptly murdered by his guards. On the eve of his death, Herod knew no one would mourn his departure. And so being a bit egotistical, he wanted tears and crying and wailing at the time of his death. So to get what he wanted, he brought together the top leaders of the land, those who were most important and loved, and brought them for a meeting in Jericho where he was at. And once they arrived, he locked the fortress door so they couldn't escape. And just before he breathed his last, he had them all massacred. One way or another, people would cry when Herod died. Tears would be shed. But Herod isn't just famous for these things, though he's also known for being paranoid and insanely suspicious. He was married 10 times, killed 2 wives, a mother-in-law, and had 3 of his own sons assassinated. Herod would remove any obstacle and threat to his throne. A new king in town? To Herod, that simply won't do. There's to be one king, and it is to be him alone. This king will have a short and swift reign. So there is a reason that Jerusalem is troubled when Herod is troubled. He's a ruthless, brutal man with a touch of crazy who will do whatever it takes to keep his throne. To Jerusalem and to Herod, this star is a troubling one, make no doubt about it. And so Herod then keeps his cool and decides to get more information about this star and king if he is to eliminate this threat. And so he summons not just some, but all of the chief priests and scribes. He wants every opinion, every answer, every possible idea to this question. And so the religious leaders tell him that this king was born in Bethlehem of Judea. And knowing the place, he needs to know the time. And so he asks the wise men when the star appeared. And so they tell him. And then he devises one of his famous plans. He says, go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him. Herod has no intention to bring this king worship, but rather to bring a quick and sudden end to his rule and reign. Herod will put an end to this troubling star. But this star that announces the birth of the king really still does bother people today. It still troubles people 2,000 years later. On the show 90 Day Fiancé, Natalie, who is from Ukraine, is a Christian who is Russian Orthodox. She's very passionate about her faith, but her American fiancé, Mike, is not. He's a devout atheist who believes in ancient aliens of all things. And throughout the season, Natalie tries to get to Mike to come to church with her, but he refuses. He has no interest in going and thinks he has no need for God. He says, I won't submit myself to that or to that way of life. He fears the changes he would have to make if he became Christian. It would mean he is no longer in charge. He's no longer king. And so he opposes her and God every step of the way in those conversations. The star troubles him, but he's not the only one troubled by it and its message. The star that proclaims Jesus as king proclaims that we aren't king either. And that's a message that people just don't take lightly. It's his reign or their reign. It means they're in control or he is in control. People can be troubled by this realization and confrontation. Herod's dilemma is not just limited to his day, but still resonates to ours as well. But unbelievers aren't the only ones who can be troubled by this. Our sinful flesh can be too. Our sinful flesh wants to lust and lie, steal and slander, covet and curse, and dishonor others and devote everything in life to ourselves. The star and the king it proclaims stands in sharp contrast to that sinful flesh and all that it wants and desires. That star of Bethlehem really can be a troubling one. But fortunately, it's not the only reaction to that star. Matthew continues on. He says that after they listened to Herod, the wise men went on their way, and the star led them to where Jesus was. And Matthew tells us their reaction, but he really can't find the words for it. He struggles, and so he just puts it out there. He literally says, and after they had seen the star, they rejoiced a great joy, greatly, exceedingly. That's kind of a mess grammatically, isn't it? He struggles in describing this joy they have in finding Jesus and that joy that the star brings. It really is a joy that is indescribable and one that words just can't be able to fully describe. And so the wise men worship this king who brings such joy. And they give him their gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And as they get ready to depart, they're warned in a dream not to return to King Herod. This King Jesus thwarts others who try to oppose him, his rule, and his reign. But all this really leads to an important question, though. Which king is in charge? Which is the real one? Matthew's gospel makes it quite clear who that king is. In Matthew 27:11, it says, now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, are you the king of the Jews? Jesus said, you have said so. A few verses later, he's crowned with thorns, beaten and mocked with these words, hail, king of the Jews. He's then led out to Golgotha and crucified. And above his cross is put the sign, making it clear to all, this is Jesus, the king of the Jews. there at the cross. This King Jesus defeats all that oppose him, his rule, his reign, and anything that would separate you from him. He defeats Satan, the prince of this world, and promises an end to his reign. He destroys the powers of sin, our flesh, the world, and death. He triumphs over them by his death. And because of this, the star is not a troubling one, but really is a star of great joy. For this king lives and reigns. His rule is eternal and without end. He has thwarted and defeated everything that might ever try to separate us from him. And this king is a special one, and really like none other. The other day, I learned an interesting thing about shepherds. Believe it or not, there is such a thing called as bummer lambs. What's a bummer lamb? A bummer lamb is a lamb that its mother has rejected for whatever reason. And when that happens, a mother lamb will never, ever change her mind. When she sees that lamb, she will bite it, she will kick it, she will push it away and try to kill it. So what is the lamb to do? Go to the shepherd. And so the shepherd takes that rejected lamb into his home. He hand feeds it and keeps it warm by the fire. He wraps it up with blankets and keeps it close to his chest so that lamb can hear the beating of his heart. And once that lamb is strong enough, he returns it back to the fold with others. In our text, our king is also described as a shepherd. Jesus is our shepherd king. He takes us bummer lambs, those who can be rejected and broken and hurting, and he cares for our every need of body and soul. He holds us close to his heart in his protective and mighty arms. We might be broken and hurting, but we are deeply loved by this shepherd, this king, who cares for us. As we celebrate this Epiphany season, we see that star of Bethlehem shining. And for us, people of the King, it's not a star of distress, but the star of joy. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the grace of God and the peace that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in and with Christ Jesus. Amen.